What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 125. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about using adjusted body weight for heparin dosing in obese patients, answer the drug information question, how long is glucose therapy required after using high-dose insulin for beta blocker or calcium channel blocker overdose, and share a resource for studying intensive care topics. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode125. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Book reviews on Amazon help potential readers decide whether the book is for them. If you have purchased my book, A Pharmacist's Guide to Inpatient Medical Emergencies, thank you, and I would really appreciate if you would head over to Amazon and take a moment to leave a review. You can find a link to leave a review directly in the show notes, or you can get there by going to clinicalpharmacybooks.com. The article for this episode is titled Evaluation of Heparin Dosing Based on Adjusted Body Weight in Obese Patients. The lead author is Jinyang Fan, and it was published in American Journal of Health System Pharmacy, October 2016. Weight-based heparin dosing can lead to exceptionally high initial heparin doses in obese patients. The authors of this study sought to determine whether heparin dosing based on adjusted body weight instead of actual body weight can lead to faster achievement of therapeutic activated partial thromboplastin time values in obese patients. The study looked at a retrospective cohort of patients who received heparin before and after the implementation of a heparin protocol using adjusted body weight. The primary outcome was the percentage of first APTT values within the target range. Secondary outcomes were the average time to the first APTT value within the target range and the rate of clinically significant bleeding. The difference in the rate of first APTT value within the target range was not significant between groups. An in-range APTT was obtained at an average of 14 hours when adjusted body weight was used, compared to 24 hours when actual body weight was used. This difference was statistically significant. When actual body weight was used to calculate the heparin dose, obese patients had an 11% rate of significant bleeding compared to just 1% for non-obese patients. When adjusted body weight was used, the rate of bleeding did not differ between obese and non-obese patients. The authors concluded, the percentages of first APTT values in the targeted range did not differ significantly in obese and non-obese patients before and after protocol implementation. The use of adjusted body weight for dose calculation in obese patients was associated with faster achievement of an APTT value in the target range. While this study took place in a single center, it is congruent with the results of other studies, which I have linked in the show notes, pharmacyjoe.com/episode125, which suggest that lowering the initial dose of heparin in obese patients can still lead to acceptable time to first APTT in the target range. If your heparin nomogram does not make any adjustments in the dose for obese patients, it may be time to reconsider. The drug information question for this episode is, how long is glucose therapy required after using high-dose insulin for beta blocker or calcium channel blocker overdose? My answer is up to 24 hours. Insulin infusion at doses of 1 unit per kilogram per hour or higher is effective for the treatment of beta blocker or calcium channel blocker overdose. Despite using large doses of a dangerous medication, high-dose insulin therapy is well-tolerated. Glucose administration is often necessary during the high-dose insulin therapy to maintain euglycemia. According to an excellent review article in the journal Clinical Toxicology, supplemental glucose administration may be necessary for up to 24 hours after stopping high-dose insulin therapy. And the resource for this episode was created by Dr. Paul Young, and he created 355 mind maps to help study for intensive care exams. The mind maps are available for free at the Wellington ICU website, and I have a link in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode125. Mind mapping is a powerful tool to help remember and organize large amounts of information. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just bookmark and use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.